Our lesson this morning comes from the first book of John, chapter 1, right towards the end of the Bible. If you'd like to follow this in the Pew Bible, it's on page 283 in the New Testament. The heading is the Word of Life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete.
It's not your normal Christmas passage of scripture, but hopefully it will make sense in about 2 hours from now. So can I just say, I bumped into a minister of another church yesterday, and I looked at him, and truth book, the thought that went through my mind is this: we've got the best congregation in the city. I think you're the best. Actually, I don't think so. I know so. We're not perfect by any way or stretch of the imagination. The perfect Christians are in different churches. But I absolutely love the practical groundedness, the trying to figure stuff out as we go along, that lives amongst us. It's part of what happens here. And I was thinking about it during the week as I was thinking about you guys, and I wanted to, I took some time to reflect as to why I enjoy you guys so much, and I realized that it's part of my history. So I grew up in a place and a time where, and I use the word deliberately, where religion was practiced mindlessly. Religion was practiced mindlessly. People went through the motions, they went to church, they did what the minister told them to do, but it never really affected their lives. Now, please understand, this is an observation. This is me, your little kid growing up, looking at what is going around. Obviously, it's not an absolute truth. But I remember growing up, having this weird sense that people would say they would believe certain things, but it never impacted their lives. And then after I got saved, we were discipled in the charismatic tradition, and there you saw the flip side where people tried so hard, you know, to bring about change in their lives. Absolutely, to the point where if you got to know them a little bit, you found out that they were struggling with tiredness, with burnout, that there was this consistent, deep awareness that no matter what I do, it's actually just not good enough. You know, they were battling with that. And in both these streams, which I realized was that if you asked, okay, so tell me why we do this or how we're supposed to do this, then you found people became very defensive and there wasn't a lot of, hey, let's figure this out. Let's try and figure out what this is about. And that is what I enjoy about here. All of us can agree that we don't know, but we're willing to figure it out. And that's why I like Advent. I like this Christmas time. Because every year, I don't know about you, but I get to sit here and go like, yes, what is this about again? You know, trying to figure it out. But then also to ground it, to make it extremely practical. Because believe it or not, Christmas is actually extremely practical. And I'm not just talking about the fact that we're going to give gifts and receive gifts. That's not what I'm talking about. The whole time building up to Christmas Day is, if you stop and reflect on it, you'll see that it's extremely, extremely practical, although it's born in dogma, in what we believe. Now, an editorial note here, just to say, all of us have got a dogma. Even the people who say they're not doctrinal, they are doctrinal, because all of us believe something about life and about God and death, and all of us believe. As believers, as Christians, we're just upfront with what we believe. We don't try and hide it or, you know, try and figure, or not, I should say figure stuff out. But we say, this is what we believe. And part of it, what makes it easier for us as Christians, is that our faith is born in a historical event. If you actually think about it, it's a historical event. John, and this is why I chose it, he's the one who said, okay, chaps, the word of life manifested itself, became flesh. You know what we did? We touched it, we ate with it, we walked with it, we saw it die, we saw Jesus raised from the grave. We saw this. This is something that we've witnessed. And the fact that he writes this, the fact that he says, listen here, doctrinally, I can tell you he's the word of life. But practically, we saw him. This is us who saw this. We eyewitnesses. That forces each one of us, every single person, into a choice. And the choice is a rather simple one. Do you think the disciples, the apostles, were lying, or were they eyewitnesses? It's as easy as that. Okay? They either made up the most stupid lie in the history of humanity, or they actually witnessed something truly amazing, that God became flesh. Okay? That's the choice. Now, people think it's like, yeah, no, Jacques, that, it can't be that binary. It can't be, is it a truth or is it a lie? Were they witnesses or are they lying? Are they making this up? And people, especially when I talk to a lot of people, they will say to you, yes, but you see, the Bible is full of principles. You don't have to sort of like, you know, you don't have to believe that Jesus actually was born and that he did die on the cross and that he was raised from the grave. You don't really, it's not historical. It doesn't really matter. What is really important is that you follow the principles that he taught, you know, like to love. Strangely enough, nobody's actually said, just, this is not part of the notes, but just come to think of it in this moment, I realized nobody has ever said, well, it's about the principles, has ever thrown tithing into as one of the principles. You know, yeah, you have to love, you have to forgive your enemies. Comes to money, we don't go there. It's quite a funny thing, but that's besides the point. You know, they look at Jesus and the scriptures and at the Bible, at the Christian life, or what is taught as a bunch of principles. But the problem is, and this is the real problem, John doesn't give us that option. Because you can take principles from fables, from legends and stuff. But if you're going to reduce Christmas, the life of Jesus, to a bunch of principles, you will be crushed by it. You will be crushed because, let's be honest, all of us know that we're actually not that good. I'm going to say, you have to be married for what, 30 seconds to realize you don't have all the patience that you thought you had. Or, you know, when that lighty of yours does that thing again, fortunately some of us were blessed with girls, you know, but if that lighty does that thing, you realize, murder is not beneath you. You know, you can strangle the little bugger. That's the reality of, none of us are perfect, but when we reduce the Christian life to a bunch of principles, then we fall into the trap of thinking that we can live the same life that Jesus did, which is impossible. We can't live. He lived the life that we were supposed to live and died the death. He lived the life that we couldn't live, can't live, and he died the death that we were supposed to die. But we can't do that. We need a savior. And therefore, for us, the first choice that we have to make is this. Was Jesus seriously born? Was John a witness? Was he a witness or not? Did he make up a lie? Now, if you've got that, if you can say, okay, right, listen here, I embrace this. Historical event. Jesus was born, he lived, he died, he rose from the grave. Then it becomes extremely interesting, practical. Because you remember when we did the doctrine of creation, said that when God created us, he created us for connection with him, with the world, with others, and ourselves. And if Jesus was born, it impacts all four of those areas. So let's start with connection with him. John writes in verse 3 where he says, we now can have fellowship with the Father and with Jesus. Okay? Jesus stepped into our world. He was born so that you and I could have real, deep, mystical fellowship, connection with the Father. Yeah? Now, it sounds a little bit theoretical until you twist it around and you ask this question. If God was willing, as the Most High, to become the Most Low, born as a baby in a stable, do you really think there's anything that he would not do to make himself real to you in your heart and your thinking? Do you think there's something that he would say, oh, no, he supports the Blue Bulls. Sorry, we're not going there. There's nothing that you and I can do in this world, and there's nothing that he won't do to make himself real. If Jesus was born, if the Most High became the Most Low, if that is true, if that actually happened, then there is nothing that he will not do through the power of the Holy Spirit to make himself real in our hearts, in our thinking, in our lives. All we have to do is to ask, saying, Lord, please, come and make yourself real to me. And when we do that, it brings us into this deep, mystical relationship with God. And that is if Christmas took place. But also, it changes our perspective towards all our relationship with the world. Because you see, most religions actually teach that the physical, the body, the everything that is created, is actually bad. The Greeks taught this. Hermann likes the Greeks. And I'm not talking about the guy who's got the cafe around the corner from him. I'm talking about the guys who lived a long time ago. No, I wasn't even looking at Beryl. But the thing is the Greeks had this separation between, you know, the spiritual, shanana, anything created, ooh, you have to avoid this. And it's basically all religions have got this thing that there's this God who's spiritual and he's going to come and snatch the deserving ones away and he's going to take them to heaven. And you would, if I say it like that, oh, not heaven, to paradise, to some form of paradise. I don't know if you've read up about some of the guy's ideas of paradise, but some of the ideas of paradise sounds to me like hell. But anyway, it doesn't sound like hell. But the reality of it is this, you get this, this world is bad. Everything about this creation is bad. And everything about God and the Spirit is good. So therefore, he's going to grab us out. And it's found its way into the church as well, because, you know, we've got the rapture coming. If you open Facebook, which I made the mistake of doing this morning, and I would say we're at the end of the world again, you know. It's just like last week or the previous week, you know. It seems every week is the end of the world. But the reality of it is there are Christians who believe this, but it's like they haven't read to the end of the book, you know, to the end of the Bible. Because it says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Heaven is going to come down. God, the Most High, became the Most Low, stepped into our world when he taught us to pray. He said, Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a redemption of creation that takes place by Jesus taking up flesh, by him being born. If he's actually born, he said, your body, my body, this world, it carries value, that carries the value of his life. He validated it. And so for us, if Jesus was born, if he was actually, if Christmas took place, then what it does is it makes us actually, I think the right word should be fiercely materialistic or fiercely material. Because we get to enjoy creation. It's like you with a sailing. It's weird. It's sort of like, you know, he wants to get Sias to go and sail with him just because Sias can't swim. I'm not sure what the issues are. But the reality, you can swim with Sias there. Oh, he doesn't know whether he can swim. You know, but the reality of it is I was listening to their conversation while they were talking. The one was talking golf and the other one was talking sailing. But you know what both of them were talking about? How amazing it is to be outside in creation. And the fact, if Jesus came and he was born, then it means God himself said, this has got value. It needs to be enjoyed. It needs to be celebrated. He valued creation. And that makes us fiercely material. We don't have to look down. We don't have to avoid. We can enjoy. But then it also makes us boldly relational, if you think about it. Okay? So, God stepped into our world. And I read a commentary this week that actually got a very interesting metaphor for it. The guy said, imagine you move to a different country. So it's like moving from here to Cape Town. Okay? Yeah, no, not really. But you move to another country. Okay, and you get to that country. The moment you arrive in that country, it offers you one of two choices. Okay, you either sit in your house and you wait for the people of that nation to come to you, learn your language, learn your customs. They need to reach out to you first. Or you can get up from your house, go out and learn their language, their customs, learn the way they do things. Those are your two options that you've got. If you choose to get up, go out, learn their language, learn their customs, what it does is it places them in a position of power because they know, they are the ones who know the language, they know how to do things, but you're the one who comes and asks. But if you take the lower position, guess what becomes possible? Relationship. Because you're learning about them. You're learning about their culture, their languages, everything. Now think about what God did. Most High became the Most Low in order to facilitate relationship, to make relationship with him possible. And we know from him, and this is not just a principle that we've got, but we can see from him and what he did, that he's got us. So you and I, because God stepped into our world, because Jesus was born, we don't have to worry about this. We can take that lower position. We are the ones who can reach out. We are the ones who can, if you want to call it, humble ourselves, in the words of Paul in Philippians 2. We're the ones who can come down and say, let us reach out to these people. Because our God has got us. He's done it for us. And we know that if we, because he's got us, I don't have to fight for power. I can boldly humble myself so that I can have relationship with others. Does that make sense? But part of that is also it makes us emotionally free. It makes us emotionally free. The last sentence that was up there, I said this, we write this to you so that our joy, not your joy, our joy may be complete. If God is your source, if God, Jesus, really was born, if he stepped into our world, If he becomes the source, if he's the one that validated us, if he's the one that made relationship possible for us, if he's the one that lowered himself so that we can have relationship with him, if he becomes our foundation, do you know what no longer becomes a source of joy for us? Our circumstances. You become not detached. You're aware of your circumstances. But they no longer determine whether or not you have joy or not. What the bank manager says, what the TV says, what the people at the braai says, what whichever person says is fine. They're entitled to their opinion. But if Jesus was born, if the Most High became the Most Low, if he became flesh, stepped into our world, then in the words of Paul, he is God's final word. And therefore, we can know that no matter what happens, well, because he became, stepped into our world, all things will work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So the joy that we have, the stance that we have, does not come from our circumstances, but because of him. So if Jesus was born, if he was born, genuinely born, it changes your connection, my connection, not only with God, with the world, with others, but also with ourselves. It makes us deeply mystical, fiercely, fiercely material. It makes us boldly relational and emotionally free. But it starts with a choice. And the choice is not theory, it's not dogma. Choice is, do you believe that 2,000 years ago, in a stable, a little baby boy was born? Do you believe that John says, listen here, I saw it, chaps, I touched it, didn't make sense to us initially, we had no clue what we're talking about, but guess what? What we saw cannot be unseen. He is God in the flesh. We saw it, we witnesses. Can you believe their testimony? Yay or nay? If you say nay, it's your choice. Take your chances. But if you choose to say, I can believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Then the most logical thing to do is to say, Lord, if you as the Most High became the Most Low, won't you make yourself real to me? In my heart, in my thinking, in every aspect of my life. Because if he did that, nothing will stop him to do that in you. And if we invite him to do that, guess what happens? We are the ones then that can tell people, I wish you a Merry Christmas. But a Merry Christmas defined as deeply mystical, fiercely material, enjoying what God has created. We are boldly relational and we're emotionally free. But it starts with our choice and then asking him. I believe Jesus came. The further I go, the more I realize understanding that it's a historical event is crucial. Something that actually happened. But out of that, God does the stuff in and through us that we could never think or imagine. Does it make sense? Okay, so, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. May you choose to believe what the witnesses saw. And may that result in you amazing people, becoming deeply mystical, fiercely, fiercely material, boldly relational, and free. Amen. Let's pray. What a mighty God you are. Lord Jesus, thank you that you stepped into our world, that we don't have to manufacture an event or some kind of faith, but just that you loved us so much that you stopped at nothing for us. Our prayer this morning, as we sit here and those joining us online, Lord, is a simple one. Lord, make yourself real to us. Make yourself real to us in our hearts, in our thinking, in the way that we do life, to the point where the joy, the freedom, the boldness, the everything that we desire from life will flow, not because we tried so hard, but because you are so real to us. Lord, we pray that you will set us free from the bonds of religion, but that you will speak your words of relationship, of connection, into the deepest part of our hearts, and that through that you'll set us free. Thank you that you chose us. Thank you that you said we've got worth. Thank you that you came as the Most High, became the Most Low, so that we can be set free. What a mighty God you are. We praise you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you everything that we have. And we do this all, Jesus, in your name. Amen.